In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are at the bottom of page 2, volume 12, 918, 1917. It happens as with a fruit that is prickly and has a hard skin, but contains a sweet and useful substance inside. If a person is constant in removing the prickles and in squeezing that fruit, he shall extract all the substance of the fruit and shall enjoy the best of that fruit. So the poor fruit has remained empty of the good that it contains. And even more, the prickles and the skin have been thrown away. The same for the soul. Okay, so this is what Jesus is now showing us. In coldness and aridities, the soul throws natural affection satisfactions to the ground. Okay, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. How do you get there? Prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. It's mortification. This is what the saints have taught us. And that's what Luisa did. Luisa didn't eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. She was hungry. She would fall asleep. You know, Jesus said to her, don't eat. And she says, okay. And then she'd go, but I'm really hungry. God say, you know, sacrifice. We don't have to go through that. But what Jesus gave to Luisa just shows us how great this can be. Now, this is one reason for having a spiritual director. I've had people say to me, for Lent, well, I'm not going to eat anything for Lent. And I go, you can't do that. You've got to eat something. Lent isn't for starving. You know, you don't starve yourself. You don't have the grace that Luisa had. You have to eat with, as the church teaches, how to fast appropriately. Penance. Well, I'm going to kneel on bottle caps with the crowns up this time. No. What you do is you do penance, but you go through mortifications, but you don't hurt yourself. This is not what it's for. When you eat like the poor, you're hungry. The poor eat bread. You know, they eat pieces of bread throughout the day. I know a lot of people when they want to fast, they only have food in the morning, food at noon, food in the evening, or bread in the morning, bread at noon, bread in the evening, and they always fall apart. Because you're not nurturing yourself. You're not feeding yourself. So you go to your spiritual director and you say, this is what I'm thinking God is asking me to do. And the spiritual director will guide you. And it should be a priest. Spiritual directors, they have the grace to be able to help a soul with the supernatural. Be careful of... you know, getting involved in things that are not for the laity. Just be careful of that. This is a priestly responsibility. A soul is the priest's responsibility. And a lot of good people lead other good people down a bad road. And it's not because of their being bad. It's because they don't have the grace of the sacrament of ordination. Like some people say, well, you know, so-and-so gave a great homily. He's a layperson and gave a great, you know, that wasn't a homily. Through the ontological change at ordination, it's Jesus that's speaking to the souls. And I've heard many, many times people say to me, Father, when you said ABC, it changed my life. And I know I didn't say ABC, but that's what they heard. Jesus was speaking to them. So, somebody could give a good talk, but it's not a homily. And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that we can't take from the priesthood the priestly responsibilities. And a layperson can't do that. And a priest shouldn't take a layperson's responsibilities. The priest is in charge of the Eucharist. It's his responsibility. And, you know, it's the priest who should be exposing the Blessed Sacrament. It's the priest or the deacon too. Deacon John's a great deacon. It's the cleric's responsibility to do this, not a layperson's. I know people, they want to do good. Well, there's no priests around. Well, that's the sacrifice that you're going to have to go through. That's the penance. If there's a lack of priests, it's because we're not praying. There's many, many vocations out there. But vocations need, like a plant, watering. They need fertilizer. They need sunlight. And if the prayers aren't there from the laity, then that's what happens, unfortunately. There's a lack of priests. It's the same thing with, you don't get upset with bishops. It's the prayer of the laity that helps. It's not to condemn. It's not to curse. It's not to be angry. It's to pray. Our job is to pray. The laity's job is to pray. So, again, that's very, very important. So Jesus says this, when the same for the soul, in coldness and aridities, the soul throws the natural satisfactions to the ground. She empties herself of herself, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints. And though constancy, she squeezes herself. This is prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. It's mortification. It's sacrifice. Sacrifice is a thing that's not used too often. Fasting is a sacrifice, not starvation. So it says, she empties herself of herself through constancy and squeezes herself, and the soul remains with the pure fruit of good and enjoys the sweetness of it. So if you are constant, this is prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, and this is what it means really to be Catholic. Everything shall serve you as good, and I, God, shall lay my divine graces with confidence in your soul. He knows that with prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, God is going to work. Why? You're striving for perfection. You're striving to be a good Catholic. You're observing the teachings of the Holy Church. You're faithful to the dogma and doctrine of our faith. Volume 12, 620, 1918. With souls who live in my divine will, instead they keep repeating the acts in my divine will. So Jesus is saying, doing the will of God is one thing. The souls who live in my divine will, this is what we're striving to do. Instead, they keep repeating the acts in my divine will. As they resign themselves, they make the human will go out in order to let the divine will enter. You resign themselves. This is the very first thing. And I myself reserve to myself the privilege to consecrate these souls. He wants us to become a living host. He's teaching. Here in volume 12, he's saying to Louisa what he asked St. Faustina to become, a living host. How this is going to be done, Jesus is now teaching Louisa. And here in volume 12, he says, when a person resigns, that's the very first thing to becoming a living host, resigning themselves, make their human will go out. No more worry. Your human will is no more worry, fear, anxiety. Get that out. It says, and then to let the divine will enter in. Come, divine will, come reign in me. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. You're doing your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. Then I myself reserve to myself, to God, the privilege as high priest to consecrate these souls. And what the priest does over the host, I, God, do with them. And not only once, but every time the soul repeats the acts in my divine will. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Look what God's doing. Look what God's doing. He says, and like a powerful magnet, the soul calls me, and I, God, consecrate her for myself, like a privileged host, to repeating over the soul the words of the consecration. This is my body. Do you see what Jesus is doing? In abortion, the devil says, this is my body, and kills it. With becoming a living host, Jesus says, you are my body. Just imagine what God has planned. We're not even close to becoming aware of what God is doing. But listen to what he says. I do with them. Every time she calls upon the divine will, come divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come divine will, drive in my driving. Come divine will, walk in my walking. Like a powerful magnet, she calls me, and I consecrate the soul for myself like a privileged host, repeating over the soul the words of consecration. And I do this with divine justice. This is the divine justice of God. There's nothing to be afraid of. If, listen, he says, I'm coming to earth with my divine justice. I'm coming with fire. What is the fire? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The fire of the love of Jesus, Mary, the life of Jesus, Mary, is going to come upon the earth. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you are not one with God, if you're not in the state of grace, there's a lot to be terrified of. This is where wailing and grinding of teeth is going to occur. But for those who are in the state of grace, those who are in love with Jesus and Mary, what does God do? It's ecstasy, the fire of ecstasy. Look at the image of St. Teresa of Avila, the ecstasy of love, the arrow going through the heart, the angel putting the arrow of love through the heart of St. Teresa of Avila or St. Catherine of Siena. That's what's coming. It's the love of God that's coming upon the earth. It's so powerful. It's fire that's going to come upon the earth. This is the justice of God. God has to give to everyone what they want. That's terrifying. What do you want? What do I want? Is it God or is it self? Is it the world, the flesh, and the devil? Or is it the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If you're afraid, go to confession. Enter into a state of grace. Stay there. And this is why going to confession each week is so great. Every week, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want the grace of God to fill me to overflowing so that I will never leave this state. He says this, and I do this with divine justice because the soul, by doing my divine will, sacrifices itself more than the souls who receive Holy Communion and do not do my divine will. So he's saying, I know a lot of people, Jesus says, that go to communion. It's not changing them, not changing them in the least. One of the things that Jesus said to Louisa, he says, when the church is closed, when the ministers are few, he says, it's because I'm tired of the sacrileges. How many people go to confession? How many people go to confession and are in the state of grace and receive communion? See, it's good to be Catholic. It's wonderful to be Catholic. And this is what Jesus is saying. They empty themselves in order to place me within. They give me full dominion, and if I needed, they are ready to suffer any pain in order to do and live in my most holy divine will. Is that you and me? Anything. That's what Our Lady said at 14. She says, do with me as you wish. Let it be done as you say. That's what Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. We learned from Jesus and Mary. That's how Louisa learned. Louisa learned from Jesus and Mary how to give her fiat. How to live in the divine will. Volume 12, 5:15, 19:20. My divine will empties the interior of the soul, of the creature, of all that is human, and places in it all that is divine. Every day at Holy Mass, the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice, and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? If we believe that, we'd be at Mass every day, wanting, begging God that we can share in your divinity, emptying yourself of the human. How do you do this? Read Louisa. That's how we do it. This is what God is asking for. He's really asking us to begin to live this. And in order to be more sure, it keeps sealing all of her interior with as many nails, this is prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, this is mortification, for as many human acts as she can have, as can have life in the soul, substituting them with as many divine acts. How do you do a divine act? Humans can't do divine acts. How do you do a divine act? Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus breathed in my breathing. He did it. It's his act, not mine. It's when Peter was walking on the water. What does Peter say? He says, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come. He gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water and he becomes afraid. Jesus didn't say to him, great job, Peter. You walked 20 feet and then you sank. He said, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? The faith isn't in us. The faith is in Jesus. We trust him as our King, our Savior, our Master. This is what Jesus is waiting for. And this is why he says, substituting them with many of my divine acts. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, drive in my driving. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus says to Louisa, I want to become your skin. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to listen in your listening. I want to speak in your speaking. I want to think in your thinking. I want to pray in your praying. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. How do we do a divine act? By getting out of the way. Jesus, I want you to gaze in my gazing. I want to give all the glory and honor to our Heavenly Father by being in the Son. You know, I adore you, I love you, I praise you. Heavenly Father, Jesus in me is praising you. Heavenly Father, I'm getting out of the way. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. Sharing in divinity. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. God goes, good. That's why I created you, to be in my image and likeness. This is what the book of heaven is going to teach you, how to do this, because Jesus is going to do it. In this way, it forms in the soul the true crucifixion, dying to self. I don't want to eat another ice cream cone. Humanly. I'll say to Jesus, do you want to have an ice cream cone? You know, and if he says yes, I mean, it's, if you want, I want to share with you an ice cream cone. And he won't overeat. He's not a glutton. See, what happens is, one with Jesus, your life becomes in order. Your life becomes more of Christ than yourself. Why? You're giving him the opportunity to reign, not us. And not for a time, but for the soul's entire life. I want to repair and redo from the moment my heart began in the womb of my mother until the moment my heart stops. I want every heartbeat to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to worship God. Jesus in me, his heart beating in my heart beating. But not only that, I want to pray in the name of every human being whoever had a heartbeat, to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God. Jesus beating in our hearts beating. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. This is calling the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father. This is what God has planned. Vine 13, 11, 12, 11 28, 19, 21. The boat that you see crossing the sea, this ocean of the divine will, this ocean of love of the divine will, with so much grace is the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. We want to enter into this abundant love of God, this ocean of love. This boat is the soul who lives in my divine will. With a continuous living in my divine will, the soul has breathed the air of my divine will, and the divine will has emptied it of the wood, of the sails, of the anchor, of the mast, and has converted that boat, that soul, in completely into light. See, this light of Jesus on Mount Tabor, this light of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. It's not a halo. It's not a nimbus that's around your head like the saints. It's to enter into this abundant light, life, and love of God. That's what the divine will is. Converts it completely into light. So as the soul keeps doing her acts, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat my heart beating, dance in my dancing, doing your rounds, in my divine will, she empties herself of herself. It's not for me. It's for your glory, your honor, your praise, and fills herself with this divine light. A new beginning for mankind. This is why reading the divine will is so spectacular. Vine 14, 6, 19, 19, 22. Now, by wanting to do my divine will, the soul opens the door of my will, my volition, and empties herself of her own human will. And the soul prepares the little space for me, God, in which to place my divine goods. And as the soul enters into my divine will to operate, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, the soul gives me the occasion to issue new divine beauties from God, of God, with God, for God. We enter into this abundant life. Think of Adam. What was Adam's DNA like? It was perfect. It was in the image and likeness of God. When Adam fell, Jesus said he fell from such a height that it was a miracle that he survived. What does our DNA now say? You have to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. 70, 80 if you're strong. That's not part of God's plan. God wants to bring us back to that DNA that Adam lost. It's the DNA of Jesus, the new Adam. It's the DNA of Mary, the new Eve. And as you read, as Jesus speaks to you, as you read the volumes, he's healing your DNA. Read the Book of Heaven to children. Read the Book of Heaven to babies. That word that Jesus spoke to Louisa, the word of God, speaking those words, bring healing. I've seen it happen. It's a new and glorious way that God is that God has given to mankind. Remember, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. And he will remind you of everything that I have said. That's the Book of Heaven. As you read this, you're going to find out. It's so amazing. And that's what he's saying very, very clearly. He's saying this. As she enters my divine will to operate, breathe in my breathing, walk in my walking, dance in my dancing, the soul gives me the occasion to issue new divine beauties from God to the soul. Volume 14, 6:23, 19:22. Those who are not completely empty of their own human will cannot have a sure knowledge of God, of Jesus's. We're not thinking from a divine perspective. Because the human will forms the clouds between God's and man's and hinders the knowledge of the value and the effects that my divine will, my divine intellect contains. God wants us to think from a divine perspective. That's why we have our dogma and our doctrine. It's to think from a divine perspective. Humani Vitae, 1968, was God saying to us through the teachings of the Church, through the Holy Father, this is what it means to be human. Of human will. And we said no. Everything fell apart after that. Everything, the whole world fell apart after that. Why? We're not going to think with the mind of Christ. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I will not obey. I will not serve. Sounds familiar? If we had listened to Humani Vitae, we'd now be living a divine life. We would understand what human life is all about. And we'd enter into a divine life now. Jesus is showing us. This is why our dogma and doctrine is so important. Our tradition is so important. Sacred scripture is so important. We listen to God. And now Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you. God is going to teach us. How? Just keep on reading and you'll find out. It's just so amazing. It is so amazing. Volume 14, 10, 9, 1922. My daughter, the daughter of my divine will, how dear you are to me. Listen, as your human will enters into my most holy divine will, the human will empties itself of you. And my divine will enters, acting in you. And as my divine will acts, your human will receives the strength of the creative power of God and remains acting in God. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. This is why we were created, to be in God's image and likeness. Jesus, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. Jesus, I want you to receive all that I do to give to in your hands so that you can give to the Father all that you can do. I surrender my life to you. I want you to praise the Father, to glorify the God, Father in me, in, with, through, and for me, as I do everything in, with, through, and for you. It's a new beginning. Volume 15, 3:27, 1923. However, in order to anticipate souls with these gifts of creation, it takes a little emptying of themselves. That is, to hate sin and to desire God, to receive God. I want to get rid of sin and bring in God. I want to breathe out, get this out. Breathe out the bad air, breathe in the good. Desire God. I want God to gaze in my gazing. I don't want to gaze anymore. I want God to hear in my hearing. I want God to speak in my speaking. These gifts do not descend into rot, into mud. Okay? So without my gifts, they do not have the true disposition to receive me. See, the human will is so stubborn, so filled with self, ego, and will. It's rot. It's mud. We want to be in God's image and likeness. So we don't want our human misery anymore. We don't want what we say in confession each week. We want God's life to reign in us. And that's why he says, without my gift of the divine will, basically, you do not have the true dispositions to receive God. And in descending into them, I, God, do not find the void in order to communicate my divine life. He needs this emptiness. He says, I'm not going to mix divinity with humanity. Get rid of the humanity, your human misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Now, when somebody says to me, well, I'm living in the divine will, but I don't like that person over there, they're not living in the divine will. God loves that person over there. And to say, I don't love like that person's annoying, that person, that's not living in the divine will. It's filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It's Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. It's the heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them. That's how that's how we're supposed to live. That's what Jesus teaches Louisa. There's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, no sin, no grudges, no hate. As a matter of fact, you love God as much as you hate the person the most. That's how much you love God. It's equal. Love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Any hate, that's how much you love God. And until that's all gone, until you begin to love with the love of Christ crucified, that's what Jesus teaches Louisa. He says, I find a void. I can't communicate. I can't give you my life. I can't speak to you about my life. Volume 16, 7:30, 1923. The rays of my divine will empty the soul of what is human. See, this light of God empties the soul of what is human and fills the soul of what is divine. May we share in the divinity of Christ, the priest says every day. That's what's happening. So one can see in her the beautiful rainbow of my divine attributes. This rainbow of light. And again, some people use the rainbow, but they only use six colors. The rainbow has seven colors. And there's a reason why only six colors, because it's not of God. We use the rain. There's nothing wrong with using the rainbow, but make sure there's seven colors on them. It's indigo that they don't like. Indigo represents the Blessed Mother. They enter into this life of true rainbow, beautiful rainbow of my divine attributes. That's the last step in the six steps of Our Lady teaching Louisa. Therefore, my daughter, enter often into my divine will. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Say it throughout the day. Come, divine will, blink in my blinking, walk in my walking, dance in, you know, call, enter often. Why? To receive the tints and the various colors of the likeness of God. Image and likeness of God. It's surrendering the human, the fallen human nature, and entering into the glorious human nature of Jesus, the glorious human nature of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Volume 16, 10, 16, 19, 23. My daughter, so that my divine will may descend upon earth, it was necessary that your human will rise up to heaven. And so that it may rise up to heaven and to live in the celestial fatherland, it is necessary for you to empty it of all that is human, that is not holy, that is not pure, that is not upright. Nothing enters into heaven to live the common life with God if it is not completely divinized and transformed completely into God, into ourselves. Image and likeness. See, Jesus says, before we were created, he says, I had, in my mind, God says, I had formed my divine masterpiece in each human being. When Adam fell, that didn't disappear. When Adam fell, Jesus said, I have to come to redeem. And my mother came with me, the new Adam, the new Eve. Why? To bring that Catholic life, universal life back to mankind. And now he says, now what I want is you to share in my divinity. He's saying what he wants is he wants us to be completely transformed into God. Why? So that we can become his divine masterpiece. Each and every one of us, unique in ourselves. Whereas there's no jealousy in the divine will. What God has given to each person, no one else has. That uniqueness that no one else has. No one can praise God and glorify God and worship God like each and every one of us. It's all unique and special. And beautiful and holy. That's what God is waiting for. This is what the Book of Heaven does. It tells you what God is calling you to. It's telling you to act like the Blessed Mother. Let it be done as you say, Lord. I am the humble slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you wish, Lord. Do with me as you want. As much as you want. As often as you want. I want to be yours. This is why we begin in the divine will, you know, with a ring. You know, Louisa had the mystical marriage. The mystical marriage is for the highest order of creation, basically. It's St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena. The great mystics of the church started with a mystical marriage. Jesus started with a mystical marriage with Louisa. And then Jesus says to us, what she has, I'll give to you. Because of her, you can possess it. So we buy the wedding ring, and we wear the wedding ring. We say to Jesus, I accept your proposal. I accept this marriage. Heaven, what is heaven? Jesus calls it the festival, the celebration, the meal, the festivities of the wedding feast. That's heaven. Marriage with God. God came to earth to find a bride. He marries the church collectively, but he marries the church, each one of us individually. And that's why he says this. I want to transform you completely into ourselves. The two become one. Nor can my divine will descend upon earth to carry out its life as within its own center if it does not find that the human will is emptied of everything. And that's, what do we possess? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin? And or sin. What's the divine will? It's fiat. I want what you want. You stub your toe, fiat. You're in traffic and you got to go someplace and it's a traffic jam, fiat. You don't have enough money, fiat. You don't have enough health, fiat. It's no worry. I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I have confidence in you, Jesus. Completely transformed. That's what Jesus says. Not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. Our Lady, not my will, let it be done as you say. He says, nor can my divine will descend upon earth and carry out its life with its own center if it does not find the human will emptied of everything so as to fill it all with the goods that my divine will contains. Volume 16, 1124, 1923. The little ones, hopefully that's us, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, are more attentive in listening to me. Hopefully that's us. Because their minds are not filled with other things. They are as though empty of everything. And if one wants to give them a different food, they feel disgusted because being little, they are used to taking only the milk of my divine will. This is what happens with the saintly things, the good things, the holy things. Once you start reading the divine will, once you enter into what Jesus is saying, you know, I love St. Gertrude. I love St. Francis. But it's not divine will. They did the will of God. I want to live in the will of God. And that's the food that we're beginning to eat. And more than the loving mother keeps them attached to its divine breast to nourish them abundantly with the milk of the divine will. The food of the divine will. You're going to see a great difference between saintly lives, good lives, holy lives, and the lives of Louisa, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa in the divine will. Louisa's the newborn. That's why Jesus calls her that. She's the firstborn of all the children who are going to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. And that's, our Lord is asking, do you want to enter into this life of Jesus and Mary? And when we say yes, he says, go to Louisa. This is one of the reasons why we read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will during the month of May. Mary is teaching us this month how to get closer and closer to living in the Divine Will as she did. Volume 16, 1-4, 1924. In saying the not my will be done, but yours be done, I intended to empty the creature of their human wills and to fill them with divine. Not my will, but your will. Jesus says, I want you to learn how to empty yourself. Repeat what Jesus says and fill them with divine life. Volume 16, 2:22, 1924. Providing the soul with sufficient graces and making my way into the soul, I, God, was to empty the soul of everything, everything, making the soul understand the great evil of the human will. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin is evil. No more. So that the soul would abhor it so much as to choose death rather than doing her own human will again. No more worry. You're feeding the demon of worry and keeping it alive in you. It's got to stop. No more fear. You're keeping the demon of fear alive in you by feeding it fear. Stop it. Jesus says, does worry add one moment to your life? He says, of course it does. And then he says, stop worrying. Stop being fearful. Stop complaining. Stop being negative. Most people can't live without that. Their life is filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Rarely is fiat there. Jesus is saying this. He's teaching us this. He says, then giving the soul the gift of my divine will, assuming the attitude of teacher, I, God, make her understand all the divine beauty, all the divine power, all the divine effects, all the divine value, and the divine way in which the soul was to live in my eternal will. So that the soul might live in it, I, God, established in the soul the law of my divine will. As you read, this is what God is doing. He's establishing in us his divine, listen to this, my law of divine will. What is it? It's peace, joy, and happiness. It's fiat. That's the law of the divine will. No more worries. I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you completely. Remember what our Lord said to St. Faustina. The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return. You got to listen to what Jesus is saying. The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. Final devotion. Listen to Our Lady of Revelation. Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. Look what Our Lady said to Father Gobi. Everything is done. Everything's complete. Everything's said. We have to understand the kingdom is coming. And God is trying to get us ready for his kingdom. That's what the Book of Heaven is all about. 5:16, 5:19, 19:24. The divine volition empties those acts of all that is human, filling them with the divine will and makes them its own, placing the seal, the stamp on them, constituting them many eternal and divine acts. Why? Jesus is doing it. Jesus, breathe in my Jesus, breathing. Pray in my praying. Jesus, dance in my dancing. He is placing his own seal on them, making what we do, one with him, eternal and divine acts. Every step you take, Jesus, walk in my walking. I don't want to walk anymore, humanly. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Walk in my walking. 5:17, 9:18, 19:24. So the first steps of living in my divine will, what does it do? It lays the divine order. That's what God is doing as you read the volumes. He's putting his divine order in every thought, word, and deed that we do. In the depths of the soul, emptying of the soul, what is human, of human tendencies, of human passions, of human inclinations and the like. Why? As he said up above, to establish my law of the divine will in them. It's Jesus now. His image, his likeness. Volume 17, 3:15, 19:25. My daughter, the light of my divine will transforms us together, forms one single life, Jesus. That's why, get rid of the I. If you want to say anything, is when you wake up in the morning, it's Jesus, what do we want to do today? Jesus, let's brush our teeth. Jesus, let's have lunch. Jesus, let's go for a walk. He's saying, I want to form one single life with you. You're never alone anymore. If you've lost your spouse, so be it. God has planned this. Why? He wants to make one single life with you. Your spouse has one single life with God now in the divine will in heaven. God wants this on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The light makes its way. The heat and the light contains, empties, and consumes everything and makes that may prevent the identification of my life forming one single life with every human being, past, present, and future. This is what's coming. This is what's here. Volume 17, 6:25-25. My daughter, my divine will wants to give itself to you more and more. In order to give itself more, it wants to make itself understood more. That's what happens when you read. You're understanding God more. That's why I'm saying it's like since there is really no catechism that people are reading how to be Catholic, as you read this, as you study this, you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. It wants to make itself understood more. And in order to render what it manifests to you, Louisa, more stable, more safe, more estimable, it gives you new pains. This is good. So as to dispose you more. What is the new pain? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints. It presents it to you and you go, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want to be like that. No, I don't want to worry anymore. I trust you. These pains, he says, gives you new pains to dispose you more, to be free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, to prepare you the empty space in which to place the truth that Jesus spoke to Louisa. Now, I don't want to be miserable anymore. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want you, Lord, to be my King, my Master, my Savior, my God. I want you to reign in me completely as you desired from the beginning. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.